to be in unity and to be together, sharing that gospel together. We're living in days where people just, difficult situations. People don't want to be in church worshiping the Lord. Don't want to do it. Want to do something else instead. Read the papers or something. I don't know. Don't know what they're doing. Shopping or something. Playing golf. Brothers and sisters, I want to speak to you this morning about the greatest thing in the whole world. Come with me, would you? Come with me this morning on a little brief excursion. What would be the greatest thing in the world? Many people think, it's about money. For many people, it would be money, it would be riches, cars, whatever. Some athletes, for them, it would be winning gold medals, possibly. Others, it would be fame. We know what the greatest thing in the world is, don't we? To know the Lord Jesus as our wonderful Savior. But what does it mean to know him as Lord and Savior? There was a little boy, and this little boy, he was in his room, and his dad was in the room to him. And his dad said to him, I'm going to go into the other room, he said, but I don't want you to touch the radiator because this radiator is boiling hot. He said, don't touch the radiator. Well, now the little boy knew that his dad was saying the truth to him. He believed what his dad was saying. He believed what his dad was saying was the truth. But when his dad left the room, the little boy, even though he believed what his dad was saying, he touched the radiator. He just wanted to make sure, he just wanted to touch. Ah, he burned his hand. Now, after that, he wouldn't touch the radiator again. You see, he believed to a degree when his father said it, but it was only when he experienced it that he really, really knew it. He didn't really know it until he'd experienced it. Now, the truth is this. That there are people who believe Jesus. Yeah, I believe Jesus. Yeah, I believe Jesus. Of course I do. I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe Jesus. But they're not touching Jesus. They're not touching him. And if they're not touching him, no reality. There's no reality in what they say. No reality in their testimony. And the Lord wants us to live in the reality of the kingdom. Not in a fantasy land or, some mental decision that we've made. He wants us living in the reality of New Testament truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell you the type of difference that it makes. Let me give you an illustration just from this year. You see, when we spend time with the Lord, what happens is he can speak to us. The reality that touching Jesus is the spending time with Jesus. When we spend time in his word, when we spend time in prayer, that's the reality of the Christian life. If we don't spend time in the word, in prayer, in the Sunday services together, there's no reality. It's a deception. There's more deceived people in the church, so-called, inverted commas, than we probably realize. There's a lot of deceived people who attend church no reality to their relationship with Jesus. Let me give you an illustration using, in fact, the Old Testament. You see, in the book of Daniel, it says this. In the book of Daniel, then in 2:19, it says this. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel, because Daniel spent time with God. Daniel worshiped God. And the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven, Daniel 2:19. And in Daniel 7:13, it says this, I was watching in the night visions. And behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. The reality of the Christian life, my friends, is that we spend time with God in prayer, talking with God, fellowshipping with God, not as a distant theory, but as a reality. And in His Word and in worship. I want to give you an illustration. Not last Sunday before. I went home after the evening service. Spent some time with Micah. We usually like having some unwinding time together, a bit of time together. Fell asleep. In my sleep, in my night vision, spending time with God, night vision. In my night vision that night, I dreamt of a man. And I knew that this was reality. I knew this was from God. I saw his face. I saw his angry face. He was so angry in my dream. I saw the contorted, angry face of this man. And I saw an argument. And I saw the argument unfold. I saw everything unfold. I could see everything before me. Some of the things I won't even describe. I saw details. The next morning then, it was so real in the night. The next morning I picked up the phone. I phoned that man. I said, listen, I'm giving you a warning. God has told me to phone you and warn you. You're in danger. Do not argue with that woman. Do not argue with that woman. Listen to me, brother. He tried to argue with me at that point. I said, listen to me, brother. I'm just telling you what God has shown me. In a night vision, don't argue with the woman. Whatever happens that night, listen to me, that night, he argued with the woman. The police got involved. Relationship is over. Finished. Now, how clear could it be? I mean, how much more clear could God have made it? He made it so clear to him. He got a phone call. You know, it's so clear. Phone call. Warning. Everything's so clear. What did he do? Just ignored it. Tragic. Brothers and sisters, let me say this. God loves us so much. He wants to give us visions. He wants us to see things that those who are close to him will see. You'll have wisdom over situations, and people will think, how does he know that? How can he know that? And it's because God's shown you. And let me tell you something, when God shows you, you just know. 100%, you just know. And there's no natural way of knowing. There was no natural way that I could possibly have thought of that situation. Couldn't happen in the natural. It had to be supernatural, didn't it? Are you with me?
Yes.
It had to be supernatural.
Amen.
So if anyone wants proof of the supernatural reality of God, just take that one little testimony right there. There's enough proof in that to prove the whole thing. We are serving a supernatural God who has called us to spend time with him so that we will manifest as the sons and daughters of the living God on planet Earth. He doesn't want us to manifest in the natural realm. All of your best natural knowledge isn't very much, okay? You're not clever enough in the natural, okay? You may be clever, you're not clever enough in the natural. You're not even close to being clever enough in the natural. But in the supernatural, you can have phenomenal insight over things that pertain to the deep places of someone's life. And you can minister into those places. And God can also take you somewhere through you being in those places. Who would like a witty invention in this place? Who would like to have a business idea in this place and a witty invention? Anyone? Well, spend time with God. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I knew I was called for Christian ministry. When I knew I was called for Christian ministry, I thought, how on earth can I fund Christian ministry? How on earth could I do it? How could I possibly fund Christian ministry? I had no money. I had no money at all. But I knew that I had to fund Christian ministry so that I wouldn't be dependent on others. I knew that I needed, God wanted me to have an independence to some degree so that I could be free from the control, possibly, of a church. Never under a control. I knew that God was speaking to me about that. Because I'd seen what had happened in churches. So I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, what shall I do? What shall I do, Lord? And he gave me an idea. He said, I want you to buy some properties in London. Buy some properties in London. I said, I haven't got any money. He said, it's okay. He said, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. Oh. Well, how do you do that? Well, you just believe. So I went shopping for properties. Ha ha. No money in the bank. No money for anything. Don't worry about the details. Believe and receive. Don't worry about the details. Don't get bogged down in the details. Let others, this is a supernatural thing. So, managed to get through one thing and another, get one. Lovely, that was good. Get another one. Get another one. This is good. Get another one. Hallelujah, glory to God. Next thing you know, you see, this is how the Lord works. But that came from prayer. That came from me spending time on my own with God in prayer. That's how that happened. It wasn't my idea. I didn't have that idea. It was God who told me what to do in prayer. Can you see what I'm saying? God has, he loves us, but he wants us to be involved in the reality. There's a difference between saying, yes, I know I should. But then when you touch, then you know for sure. And so God is saying to us, listen, spend time with me. There's no shortcut with this. It's a case of saying, I'm not going to do this. And the truth is that most of us spend our days rushing from this to this to this to this to this. do this, rush, no time for God. Let me tell you this, put God first. That's why these meetings on a Sunday are so important. The fourth commandment, the Sabbath, so important. So important, isn't it? What's the first commandment? Have no other gods before him. What's the second? Second commandment. Have no idols. What's the third commandment? What's the third commandment? What's the fourth? Fourth commandment. Fourth commandment. Sabbath. Thank you, Macy. What's the fifth commandment? Fifth commandment. Honor thy father and mother. What's the sixth? What's the sixth commandment? Don't murder. What's the seventh? Don't commit adultery. What's the eighth? What's the eighth commandment? Yeah, don't give birth false. What's the ninth?
Not to covet what your neighbor has.
No. Well, what's the eighth again? Don't give false testimony is the ninth commandment. The tenth commandment is not to covet. And the eighth commandment, not to steal. So what happens is this. When we know the Bible as we do, so we've got to study the Bible. We have to read the Bible before the meals, chapter before the meals, praying to God. Let's get the Bible into our minds, understand what the Bible says. And then what happens is this. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word. The Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to you through your understanding of the Word. He uses the Word of God to speak to you. That's how it works. But if we don't know the Word of God, if it's not in us, then what we've done is we have circumnavigated the potential use of the Word of God in and through us. It's been our disobedience to the Word of God if we've not put it in us. You see, God has given us a system. He said, you put it in and I'll use it. Amen. But he says, you put it in. God doesn't expect, he's not going to open us up and pour it in. He says, you've got to put it in, and when you put it in, I'll use it. I'll direct you, I'll lead you, I'll direct you in this life. I've got good plans, I've got a plan for your life. And sometimes it's not always easy, that plan, by the way. Sometimes it's a tricky plan. But you see, we can be used and directed by God when we know those things that the scriptures are saying. I like the way that man gives the evangelism. You know, sometimes I think that we've got to evangelize. I think evangelism is so important. And I like using those Ten Commandments for an example in evangelism. So, you know, we've done it before several times. You know, you speak to someone, you say, where are you going to go when you die? And they say, oh, heaven. You say, well, why do you think you're going to go to heaven? Well, I'm a pretty good person. Oh, you think you're a good person. Okay. Have you ever stolen anything? They say, yes. What does that make you? A thief. Have you ever lied? They say, yes. What does that make you? A liar. They say, have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? I said, yes. What does that make you? A blasphemer. Oh, so by your own admission, you're a thieving, lying blasphemer. Now, let me ask the question again. Do you think you're going to go to heaven when you die? And at that point, they usually realize, oh, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. Because most people are into self-justification and they think they're better than they are. But before Almighty and a holy God, they're not as good as they are, thinking that they are. And God is saying to us, know your Bible. He says this, he says, listen, a workman rightfully dividing the word of truth. Rightfully dividing it. A skillful workman. Not a clumsy workman. God isn't into clumsy workmanship. Doesn't like that. He likes skillful workmanship. Skillful artistry. That's God. And we can use the scriptures in that way. It's gone out of fashion, I know. But God is about diligent people. Do you want to be diligent for the Lord? Or you want to be like a, just any old thing goes, you know, like, oh, yeah, I'll just be a, you know. Do you want to be like that person? Or do you want to be a diligent person before God? Do you want to be a diligent Christian in this house this morning? Yes. We got about three. Yeah? You want to be diligent? Brilliant. I don't know about you. I want to be diligent. I mean, do you have the fear of God? I have the fear of God. When I think of God, I'm afraid sometimes. I fear God. People say, oh, you don't need to fear God. He loves you. Yeah, I understand that. But believe me, if you spend time with God and you get close to God, you will develop a fear for Almighty God. Our Almighty God is awesome and fearful when you get close to Him. And how do you get close? Through the Word and through worship and through prayer, spending time with Him. And then He takes us. I like what the scriptures teach in the New Testament, you know. Very important. It says in Matthew 6:6, but you, talking to us, but you, when you pray, that's us, when we pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place. He's in the secret place, notice. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. God wants to reward us openly. You know, God does reward people openly. If you see someone blessed, don't be jealous. That's the 10th commandment. Well, you'd know that anyway, wouldn't you? Just realize God is blessing them. Now, there's also the wicked who have things. So I'm not necessarily talking about things here. I'm not talking about cars and houses and things like that necessarily, although it may involve those things from time to time. But the blessing of the Lord rests on someone. You can see they're blessed. Be happy. Be encouraged, because God rewards them openly. But you see, it's those who are spending time with God. They are spending time. They're taking Him seriously. They're spending time with Him. And I like what He says, our Lord, later on in Matthew 6, where He says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, notice. So He's not against things. All these things shall be added unto you. Brothers and sisters, He loves us so much. He loves your family. He loves what is precious to you, family, people that we know. He loves for us to be spending time with Him. And when we spend time with him, he then speaks to us and guides us in our lives that we would manifest his kingdom into those other areas. Now, that's a choice that we have to make. We're at the start of a new decade, at the start of this new year. I tell you, I want to spend my life yielded to him. And I want my life to count. I want to see people come to Jesus. I want to be yielded to him. And I want my mind to be under his control. But in order for that to happen, I have to put myself in a place. And this is, as I close, my invite. Put yourself in a place to receive. I know this is a place of receiving. A Sunday morning worship service, a Sunday evening worship, it's a place of receiving before God. God has ordained it that way. The New Testament teaches it clearly over and over again. Jesus went to church. They called it synagogue. They all went. All the disciples, everyone went. It's vital that we go. It's become part of our culture now that people don't. People are so lackadaisical. People are, well, I don't know. Listen, let me tell you something. Let's urge people, encourage people. Encourage, and let's urge and encourage. It's so important. But what's even more important than that is that during the course of the week, we are spending time with the Lord Jesus daily. That's more important than the Sunday morning worship service or the Sunday evening worship service. What he's talking about here is a relationship that is going on every day of the week. That we're listening to him, hearing from him, under his direction. And he's called us to that. And I don't know about you, I want all that he's got for me. I just want it. I'm keen for that. Because I know that his plans are tremendous plans for us. He's got some tremendous plans for us as a people. But here's the thing. I want to be involved in what he's doing. And I believe that there's going to be a shift. Several people in the room here this morning are involved in evangelism. I want us to be involved in evangelism as a church, you know. I like the Living Waters. I was watching Living Waters and their evangelistical stuff. The illustration I just gave using the Ten Commandments. I thought it was really interesting what they're doing. Many people are coming to faith through that ministry. Just evangelizing, making it clear for people. Maybe we should look at that. Let's look at that perhaps. And look at the materials that they produced. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Jesus, thank you. So let's pray. Let's just pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, help us then. We want to be all that you've called us to be. And we want to do all that you call us to do. Lord, we feel the fire of God inside of us. Passionate for the things of God. Passionate for what's happening in your assembly. Passionate for this relationship that you've called us to every day of the week. Father God, okay, so just before I close in prayer, the Lord has, what I sense from the Lord is this, as I gave the illustration about spending time in prayer and the Lord subsequently using, spending time with the Lord and then the Lord using that person to speak to someone else, maybe through a dream, maybe through something else, maybe a word of knowledge. Listen, he's calling you. You're a part of this body. And he's calling you as you spend time before God. Know that you will have a ministry to people in this church. You may minister to people in this church. Some of you are involved in that already, obviously. But there's more, much more for us. And not just the people in this church, but those other people that you know, family members, friends, work colleagues. As you spending time with God, a word of knowledge for those people will change their lives. But how can you have that unless you're spending time with God? It's all just intellect unless we spend time with Him. Spend time with Him now. The only way to do it is to say, I'm going to spend time with God. If the phone rings, ignore it. If someone knocks the front door even, just ignore it. Just spend time with God. Stop being busy, busy, busy. Stop it and spend time with God. Spend time in His Word. And if it's a family member and it all seems urgent, stop it. Say, I've got something very important. I've got an appointment with Almighty God daily. And let's spend time with God. The only thing you can do with time, you know, is spend it. You can't save time. People say that you can save time. There's no such thing. You can only spend it. So spend time with God. Spend your time with God and see what God will do. God is calling us to this. Let's all stand as we close in prayer. So that the reality of your relationship will manifest. This is about the reality of your relationship with Him. How has God used you in the last week? What has God spoken to you in the last? What does Jesus say to you this week? What has He said to you? Ask yourself these things. What's He saying to you for the week ahead? What's the reality of this gospel? Truth. Meaning to you. Heavenly Father, this is us, Lord. We are here before you. This morning's service is coming to a close now. And Father, we're saying this. We want the reality of the relationship with Jesus to manifest. We want to hear you speaking to us, Father, and we want to respond to your voice. And so, Father God, we're asking this, Lord, that as we spend time, we spend it with you. And as we spend time with you, you cause us to be the ministers of the gospel that you've called us to be. And that we would do what you've called us to do. Be what you've called us to be. Father, we come before you now then in Jesus' name and say this. Please, have your way before us. Now listen, every eye closed, no one looking around. Everyone closed, look, no looking around. Just respond to God now, before God this morning. You're not responding to me, you're responding before God. And you're saying to Him, as you put your hand up, as I'm going to invite you to, you're saying, Lord, I want to spend time with you, and I want to be spending more time with you in a disciplined way every day of my life, that I hear from you, and that the reality of this relationship will manifest. If that's you, stretch your hand out as you lift it up high. No half-hearted, stretch it out, lift it up high. Father God, Almighty Lord, you hear us this morning. Our hands are raised, my hands are raised to you, Father, because Lord, I want all that you have for me. We want the reality of this relationship that we are in to manifest. And so, Father God, please look at us now this morning as we are raising our hands before you. And that, Father God, your will manifest in our lives. And that, Lord, we would be able to minister to people. And that our lives will be spent for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we honor you this morning. And we worship you and honor you this morning at the close of this service. Let's give him a wonderful, a round of applause to Almighty. Thank you, Father God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Worthy is of our praise. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Oh, precious brothers and sisters, I love you. More importantly, He loves you. Let's go on and praise God. Amen. Amen.